Welcome to the Community Oncology Journal podcast for December 2012. I'm Dr. David Henry. In this month's issue, we review everolimus for the treatment of tuberous sclerosis complex, or TSC, associated subependymal giant cell astrocytoma, and renal angiomyolipoma, rare tumor indeed. Lucy Langer writes about addressing healthcare disparities in cancer genetic services, while Dr. Heidi Heyman reviews a study on BRCA1 and 2 testing and cancer risk management in underserved women at a public hospital. We have a case report on the challenges of managing a patient with multiple primary malignancies, and Matthew Brow reviews recommendations on cancer care site of service. We conclude with a timely holiday article from our technology editor, John Fried, on gifts for the techie, so let's begin. Everolimus for the treatment of TSC-associated tumors by Dr. Serena Maton from the Department of Urology at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. The mTOR inhibitor everolimus is approved for the treatment of tuberous sclerosis complex, TSC, associated subependymal giant cell astrocytoma and renal angiomyolipoma, which is also called AML, meaning the angiomyolipoma. Genetic tumor syndromes such as TSC and von Hippel-Lindau are characterized by recurring multi-organ tumors and or cancer manifestations, which may be anywhere from disfiguring to life-threatening. Everolimus may be effective in these genetic disorders when and where tumors become a problem. Adverse events from the mTOR inhibitors can be high, including stomatitis, high cholesterol, hyperphosphatemia, lower extremity edema, joint pain, abdominal pain, headache, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and acne. About 40,000 patients carry the diagnosis of TSA in the United States, and some 70 to 80% of these patients will have renal tumors. Everolimus in this angiomyolipoma, also called AML, of kidneys, has an overall response rate of 40%. The everolimus dose is 10 milligrams daily. So this article is a nice review of how I treat renal angiomyolipoma using this mTOR inhibitor, everolimus, associated with this article. Next, addressing health disparities in cancer genetic services by Dr. Lucy Langer from the U.S. Oncology Genetic Risk Evaluation and Testing Program in Portland, Oregon. Despite ready availability of genetic testing for heritable cancers like breast and ovarian cancer in women, there remain significant disparities in access to and use of these genetic tests. As reviewed in this commentary, the challenge now is to improve the systems of delivery of genetic testing to appropriate screening and identification of at-risk individuals, and to ensure that surveillance and risk-reducing surgeries are available and utilized appropriately. This commentary then refers to the article that follows in this month's issue by Dr. Heidi Heyman from the Harold Simmons Cancer Center in Dallas, Texas, entitled BRCA1 and 2 Testing and Cancer Risk Management in Underserved Women at a Public Hospital. A retrospective medical record review of 195 women who presented for breast or ovarian genetic counseling from 2008 through 2009 was performed. This was a racially diverse population. 29 of 158 eligible for genetic testing were BRCA1 or 2 positive. 20 of the untested women had financial and funding barriers. Of the women who tested positive, only 59% had prophylactic breast surgery and/or prophylactic ovarian surgeries. This retrospective review points out the difficulty in a racially and ethnically diverse population of women considered at high risk for BRCA1 or 2 testing who did not or could not receive the test because of financial barriers. Next, Dr. Natalia Marr from the Lenox Hill Hospital and colleagues report on the challenges managing a patient with multiple primary malignancies. This nice case presentation discusses and reviews a patient with both well-documented myeloma and metastatic breast cancer, and in this man, also a history of primary prostate cancer. Quite a challenge. Thoughts and recommendations on cancer care site of service by Matthew Brow and colleagues from McKesson Specialty Health and the Florida Cancer Specialists. This review of the challenges facing private practice clinics highlights four important points for for clinic and hospital outpatient departments providing independent care. And they are, first, that community-based physicians are burdened by rising costs, including layout for new technology, aka the EMR. Number two, the hospital's goal of ensuring a stable stream of tests, admissions, and referrals, which may be in contradistinction to the outpatient oncologist. Number three, the hospital's efforts to position themselves to establish accountable care organizations. And substantially, number four, substantially higher Medicare payments for hospital-based services than to community-based physicians. This article certainly makes interesting reading in the current climate of Obamacare taking effect and the need to decrease spending in the medical arena by the government and private payers. So on a happier note, finally, John Fried reviews Gifts for the Techie in our technology section in this holiday issue. To mention just a few of his techie gifts, they are the wireless keyboard and mouse, how to back up and safeguard data. If you've ever had a hard drive fail, you know this is an important recurring theme, that all hard drives eventually fail about 8% per year. So you should back up once a week, both locally and somewhere in the cloud and off-site. He also mentions faster backups with flash drives, although more expensive than traditional external drives. They're increasingly popular. Webcams for either giving or receiving of educational issues in oncology. And finally, digital photo editing. You can see some of these techie pictures and gifts by visiting our website at communityoncology.net. And that concludes this month's issue of the December 2012 Community Oncology Journal. We, as always, welcome your comments and suggestions, so please visit us at our website, once again, communityoncology.net, where you can also search our archives for previous articles of interest, and we thank you for listening.